That's for Jesus. You can make it louder. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. The Bible said, him that descended was the same that ascended on high, far above all heaven. And he said, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. And he said, to some he gave to be apostles, to some he gave to be prophets, to some he gave to be evangelists, and to some he gave to be pastors, and 13 of the saints for the edification of the body of Christ, until we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but teaching and speaking the truth in love. And this morning, to the glory of God, we have one of the gifts of Jesus Christ to his body. Please celebrate God's servant, Prophet George Jokosi, and his dear wife. You know, there are three categories of spiritual gifts. The first category of spiritual gifts are gifts of the Spirit. There are nine: word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But the other two categories are men. They are actually not spiritual substances, they are men. And one of the two categories are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the other category are the ministry gifts, where you have the gift of administration, the gifts of help, and all of that. Gift of exhortation. All these are men. And so this morning, I want to salute and celebrate every gift of men in this house. Workers in the choir, in the media, in the technical department, the sanctuary department. The Lord bless you richly. Thank you. You made this program a success. God bless you. Thank you everyone for coming. If you are ready to receive, just lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father from the depths of your heart. Talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Are you Lord God Almighty? Help me now. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. You are holy. Holy Jesus.
Holy.
Are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God? Extol his name. Adore him.
Hallelujah. Oh, we come and sing. When we cry it, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, holy Jesus.
Oh,
are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God?
Oh,
almighty.
What is the
land? What is the land?
Yeah.
precious Holy Spirit, we give you praise, we give you glory, our dear Father in heaven. This morning again, we gather to receive of your Spirit. And we ask that everyone will be lifted, will comprehend your word, and on the strength of our understanding, we will gain access to depths of reality. Take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's such a wonderful atmosphere here in GIWC. I could travel from Nigeria for your worship concert. It's so edifying. These guys are excellent. So anointed, yet excellent. Powerful combination. And of course, the prophetic is second to none. An evangelist traveled to E.W. Kenyon's church. Powerful evangelist, healing evangelist. And after ministering mightily, he wanted to pray for the sick. And he asked for every sick person to stand up. And to his greatest dismay, he prayed for the sick. And when he was done praying, he asked if you were healed, stand up. And nobody stood up. Mighty evangelist. And he was wondering, what has happened to my anointing? They whispered to him that your anointing is intact. There's no sick person here. There's no sick person. E.W. Kenyon is so vast and deep in the word that every member of his church is grounded in the word of God. It was told that nobody died in his church below the age of 79. If you died, he will wake you up. So when the evangelist came, nobody was sick. I realized in this church, if you want to give a prophetic word, you are wasting your time. Everything is known. The servant of God is a router. He picks everything in every service. Just this morning, stepping into the office, the prophetic opened again. So I think I'll be calling him every day from Nigeria. Celebrate the grace of God. So you reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh. Jesus of Zina. There are many things about the Word of God. The Word of God is a capsule of life. When you lay hold on it, it releases life into your spirit. It said, the words I speak, they are spirit, they are life. When we communicate the Word of God, we are not trying to educate your mind primarily. We are releasing capsules of eternal life. And this is why when you hear it, capacity is built. So many times, before the Word of God comes to you, you must open your spirit, because it's a capsule. It's not just an academic adventure. It's a release of life. This is why we do what we do. Many times, the testimonies will not open to you until you give him his due. The Holy Ghost is an oracle. He will keep his testimony. When you honor him, he will open it up to you. This is why we worship. It's not a religious cliche. It's a protocol in the spirit. This morning, many people who ascend in the spirit, we give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Please sit down for a moment. The Holy Ghost told me every scripture is a doorway into a dimension. When it opens to you, you can sit on one scripture for 10 years, and it will keep opening up, because every scripture is as deep as God. For God is his word. And so when we want to share the word of the Lord, it's a terrible thing to speak on behalf of a spirit. It's a dangerous thing to speak for a spirit. A lot of protocol is required. And so this morning we bring our hearts under the government of brokenness. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we ask that through us you will find passage to reveal yourself to your people in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been trying to explore the wealth of prayer in the course of this conference. The many possibilities that we have as we begin to engage the corridors of prayer. The wealth of the believer cannot be quantified. It is as vast as God himself. But the measure of it that you carry is a function of the mysteries that you know and the degree to which you tap into it. This is why, even though God has given himself to his body as an inheritance, very few are walking in the reality of abundance of what is available to them, because there are definite mysteries that govern access in the spirit. And one of the potent mysteries that makes spiritual realities available to us is the mystery of prayer. So in the past 5 days, we've been trying to explore the possibilities of prayer, and that by all means, burdens will be cast in the heart of men to begin to explore that corridor as they make progress in God. And from the first night we said, prayer is a transport system in the spirit, and that there are four realms in praying as we begin to engage prayer. And I said the first realm of prayer is a realm of stamina. Stamina in God's presence. Not because your will is so strong or energized, but because there is a desire for more of God that yourself cannot shut down. That desire comes in form of spiritual hunger, and it eats up your soul. So the more of Him you have, the more of Him you want. And as you explore that desire, a point comes when you realize that you could tarry in God's presence for a whole day, and it will be like 5 minutes. The first time I experienced this dimension, I went to the place of prayer, and suddenly light came out of the wall, and the light walked into me, and I thought I had prayed for 15 minutes, but when I checked, it was over 4 hours, 30 minutes. So I realized there is an economy of eternity that engulfs a man when he begins to engage prayer. This is why Moses was able to stay upon Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights without food. He was enveloped by eternity. And the moment he stepped into eternity, time stopped. It was the people on earth that were counting days. In the realm of the spirit, Moses was leaping from reality to reality. He wasn't progressing by time. He was progressing by reality. That was why when he came out, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. That was the migrations Moses was having in the place of prayer. He traveled from the beginning of his life to his end. So much so that when Moses was about to die, he gathered Israel. And he said, I saw the Lord descending from the mountains of Paran. I saw the Holy One coming down with 10,000 of his saints. That's the battle of Armageddon. What will happen in Revelation 19. So Moses, for 40 days, journeyed from reality in Genesis 1 to Revelation 19. Because he wasn't traveling by time. He was journeying in the womb of eternity. Those who were on earth were counting days. But in the spirit, Moses was journeying from mountains to mountains. So prayer brings us into the atmosphere of eternity. This is what we call stamina in God's presence. And I said, as you build stamina in God's presence, you enter into the second level, which is the level of ascension. In the level of ascension, you are brought into intimacy with God, so that the things of the spirit are made known to you. The third realm, I said, is the realm of stillness. In the realm of stillness, you are not just brought in. God enters into you. In the realm of ascension, you are brought in. In the realm of stillness, God enters into you. So you know as you are known. It's a realm of intercourse. It is on the strength of that stillness that the fourth dimension of prayer can open up, which is administration. Because the things you say and do is no longer a function of human intelligence. It's a product of bettings that take place. Bettings. Just the way a man and a woman gives birth to a child, and that child is a hybrid from these two. You become an effulgence of God. So whatever you do is a reflection of a dimension of God. You call this a church and you look at a building, but this is not a building. This is a dimension of Christ. So when you come here, for instance, life will be dished into you. You may come here, for instance, your circumstances will crumble. You will come here, for instance, and you are promoted, because there are different dimensions in God that on the strength of intercourse you are able to bet. So you can meet three prophets. One prophet can give you promotion. Another prophet can deal with sickness in your body. Another prophet can end debt in your family. All of those dimensions are products of intercourse that they enter on the mountains of stillness. It's called spiritual administration. And then on the second day, we begin to speak about the burdens of the Father. And we said the first burden in the heart of God is the burden of intimacy. Every spirit desires that creation will come into intimacy with them. That is why spirit literally haunt men. And the reason is because spirits cannot find expression in the visible realm without the agency of man. So every spirit is looking for a man that will have intercourse with him, so that through that man, he will have access to the visible realm. So God himself, who pioneered that order, is always and almost all the time wanting intimacy with man. So one of the greatest burden of prayer is not just to receive things from God, is to know God as he is. And Jesus said, this is life eternal,
that you may know him, that you may experience him, the only true God. I gave us an illustration. I said you can be married to a man. The man can buy you a car, buy you an estate. But imagine if that man were never available. The man can buy you a car, buy you an estate. Imagine if that man was unfaithful, having a relationship with another woman. The car and the estate will become trash. Because beyond the car and the estate, the man himself is what you are interested in. So intimacy with that man is what gives value to what the man gives to you. If you don't have that man to yourself, everything he gives you is trash. But if you have that man, even if he gave you a comb, that comb can be worth more than a diamond. You can keep that comb even after dying. You will hand it over to your children and say, your father gave me this comb when we started cutting. You can keep that comb for 70 years. Not because the comb has so much value, but the man who gave it to you, his heart is with you. So every time we come to God, our first priority is not to receive from God. Our first priority is to come into God and to know him so that we too will be known of him. Intimacy is the first primary motivation of prayer. And I said the second thing in the heart of the Father is the power of dominion conferred on his creation. God is never happy to see us helpless. Every time a man is helpless, it's a revelation of the Spirit that backs him up. And God is a powerful God. So God wants us to reveal his power and his glory. It has never been the idea of God that man should be helpless. This is why when he created man, he said, let them have dominion. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 19, he spoke clearly on this matter. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth to showcase the excellencies of God. And poverty is not part of God's excellency. Sickness is not part of God's excellency. Weakness is not part of God's excellency. So in the heart of God, he desires that every day, every time, we should be our best. And our best is not according to our strength. Our best is according to the strength of the divine. This is why I said the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The journey is from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. So if they saw you yesterday and they thought they've seen anything, they've not seen anything. Your version of yesterday is the least version of you that will be seen. If they see you today and they assume, oh boy, this guy has three cars, God has helped him, they've not seen anything. This is my least version. The next time you see me, I will be 1,000 times better than I am now. So anybody who is saying you are finished is a joker. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because the you he saw that he's envious of is the least you he will ever see. The many versions of you that you unveiled have not yet unveiled. Because until you come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, you have not started. Where men start from is the fullness of Christ. Because we were created in his image and after his likeness. So this version of you, sir, thank God for it. But this is not what God is looking for. This version of you that can raise the dead, thank God. But this is not God, what God is looking for. The version of you God is looking for is a version that when you appear, he will look at Christ and look at you. And he will know who is Christ and who is George. He will look and he will try to understand who is Prophet George, who is Christ. Because you have become so one. You have become a reflection of the Christ. That is why John said, as he is, so are we in this world. It's called dominion. But I said there are too many forces in the world. So it will be difficult to attain that. And because it's difficult to attain that, when we begin to pray, God begins to provide buffers. And one of the buffers God provides for us is blessings. What does blessings do? Blessings create multiplication. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. So the first thing God does is that even though you were created with the DNA of God, there is a buffer that God puts upon you to facilitate that spiritual engineering until the process of becoming like Christ becomes faster than your effort can make. So blessing is what adds value to your effort. And that's what gives you an edge. Because every time a man is blessed, it's natural for him to multiply. It's natural for him to be fruitful. What an unblessed man will do in one year, a blessed man can do in one day. Because there is an operational modality in his spirit that provokes multiplication that the unblessed man does not have. I said the second buffer that God gives to us is called favor. Favor is what causes men to submit to you. There are many things that God has committed to you, you can't do alone. So you need men to submit to you. You need men to bring their resources. You need men to partner with you. A man who does not have favor may be the best, but he will function at the realm of the least. He said, God gave favor to the Israelites, so much so that they spoiled the Egyptians. He said, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. David was so favored, the Bible said, daily men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. Have you seen the host of God before? He said, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands upon thousands. That's the host of God. It's the angelic code. Myriads that you cannot number. And it's not just about the number. Nothing can stand against God successfully. So David came to a point where no force in the visible universe could stop him. The same way no force could stop God. Pray not to be David's enemy. Because if you are David's enemy, you will be crushed in any sphere of human endeavor. Because his host was like the host of God. It's the workings of favor. You may come into that place, they say there are 30 people they want to choose from. Wait until favor begins to speak. Even if they are more pretty, even if they are more educated, it doesn't matter. You carry a garment called favor. Favor will always distinguish anybody, any day, anytime. And it is in prayer that we access the possibilities of favor. And then I said, thirdly, the one that interests me the most is mercy. The Bible says mercy prevails over judgment. I may have made mistakes, and the verdict of justice is that I should be disqualified. But there is a provision called mercy. Even where covenant cannot get to, mercy can get to. Because when covenants can't stand, there is such a thing as mercy. Covenants work based on your agreement and the one you are in covenant with. If you break your part of the bargain, you weaken the potency of the covenant. But there is such a thing called mercy. That even when you fail, mercy can qualify you. Even when judgment say, be destroyed, mercy can qualify you. I see all of these provisions are made available to us through many means. But one of which is the means of prayer. So when a man have the blessing, when a man have favor, when a man have mercy, it's impossible for that man not to attain his greatest capacity. It's called the wealth of prayer. The least thing we receive in prayer is the things we ask for. Because prayer is built to bring you to the fullest of your potential. And most times the things you ask for, they are not even the things that are urgent in your life. This is why prayer is beyond what you know and think. It's a technology in the spirit. And this morning, I want to talk about the third dimension, or the third wealth that we access by prayer. It's the wealth of power. Nothing in this world works without power. Nothing. This microphone I'm carrying is exerting a weight. The reason I'm using this microphone effortlessly is because I produce a counter energy that is superior to the weight this microphone is exerting. As useful as this microphone is, if I am weak, I can't use it. So my usability of this microphone is because I can carry it. If the power in me does not counteract the power of this microphone, it will be useful, but it will be useless to me. This is how the visible realm works. Without power, nothing works. And this is because this realm was designed by power. I will show you a few things in scripture before I go to where I'm going to. You know, our generation needs to appreciate prayer. When you begin to encourage people to pray, it means those people are ignorant. One of the proof that a man truly have come into understanding is his ability and desire, willingness to yield to the things that are his advantage. So when a believer does not commit himself consciously to prayer, it means there are many things that believer doesn't know. Many things. The last thing you should be motivated to do in this life is prayer. You should pray until you die. Even the day of your departure from this world, you should be praying. Because that prayer will be a transport mode that will take you out of this realm. anybody motivated to pray is a failure waiting to happen. Because he will contend with something someday that will be bigger than what he knows. He will contend with something someday that will be bigger than the advantages he has surrounded himself with. The unseen force that puts the believer ahead is a simple force. It's called prayer. If you don't pray, when the evil day comes, you may be shocked. The stronghold of a believer is his prayer fortress. A man without altars, even if he's living in a metal beauty, is highly vulnerable. Because when you begin to journey in life, you discover it is physical forces that are least in spiritual power. Most of the beings fighting you, they don't notice when there is a war. They can walk through metals. So your weakest shield is actually the war. Your strongest shield is what your altar can provoke upon your life. Let me show you how the spiritual realm was designed and the natural realm. In order for us to understand the place of power, one of the most visible and consistent revelation of God is the revelation of an all-powerful God. There are many revelations of God. There is a dimension of God's wisdom. There is a dimension of God's excellence. There is a dimension of God's understanding. The Bible said his ways are past finding out. But one of the clearest revelations of God is the revelation of his power. In fact, when you study the Bible, different expressions of God's power, in order for a generation not to forget it, they are trapped in names. The idea behind the names of God, it's not for nomenclature. A spirit doesn't need to be identified by names. The idea behind the names of God is to reveal to a generation different dimensions of his power. And not just to reveal it to a generation, but so that through those names, a generation can provoke and summon those same dimensions of power. This is to let us know the tall place of power in our everyday life. The day you become powerless, become a victim. And one of the greatest provokers of power in this kingdom is prayer. So God himself will not reveal himself by his wisdom first. The first time God revealed himself, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, it said, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The word Elohim means almighty, all sufficient, within whom there is no impossibility. So the first way God designed the world to know him is an almighty God, so almighty in power that he could create all things from nothing. So there are two root words for Elohim. The first is El, the second is Allah. El speaks about God's superlative strength and power. So if you have not known the power of God, to a very large extent, you have not known God. Because the first way God revealed himself is the God of all power. It is an attempt to reveal to us the magnitude of that power that the Bible said he created the heavens and the earth. And the word create is the word bara. It means to make out of nothing. So this power was so much that God didn't need blocks. He said, appear, and it appears. He was speaking from a superior realm of authority. So much so that he brought creation into being. And when the earth collapsed, he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis 1:2. The word is bohu, tohu. It means to be without form and to be empty. Nothingness upon nothingness. It means waste upon waste. And he said, Elohim again. The all-powerful God came moving upon the face of the deep. And Elohim said, light appear. So when the God of power is speaking, his goal is not to educate. When the God of power is speaking, he's creating. So when he looks at you and he says you are blessed, he's not trying to describe you. Even if you were not blessed, he's imputing blessing into your life. If you are leaving him and he says you will prosper, even if you have nobody in this world to support you, even the stones will rise to prosper you. is a revelation of his dimension, that is all powerful. The earth was void and he just spoke. He didn't need to go and carry block. He didn't need to run and carry anything on his head, because as a God of power, his word is commandment. Light appear, and light had no choice. The Bible said God called light out of darkness. Before he appeared, darkness was able to capture light, which was an impossibility according to laws of the spirit. For the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. But darkness had summoned so much power that they were able to shield light. He called the light, and the light came out of darkness. When Job wanted to doubt him, he said, sit down, gird your loins. I will speak to you and you will answer. He said, do you know where light dwells? That's a God of power talking. He said, can you command the lightning and they run to answer to you? He said, who set the boundaries of the nations? Who set the boundaries of the sea? Can you command seasons and they respond to you? Can you summon Pleiades and Orion? So God revealed himself as a God of power to show you that existence without power is useless. There are many people living at the mercy of others. Nobody can take you to your end in life. Only power can take you there. It is futility to put your faith and your trust in another man. What you need is power, because every creature responds to power. This is why God began to reveal himself as a God of power. In Genesis chapter 3, when the man fell, he opened up another dimension of power. He wasn't called Elohim anymore. They called him Jehovah Elohim. This is not a creative power. This one now is authority. I own the realm. And on the strength of ownership, he summoned all the creation. Adam, why did you disobey me? Adam says his wife. He went to the wife. The wife said it's the serpent. And as Jehovah, he was able to judge Adam, judge Eve, and judge the serpent. What does that mean? Because of his power, he owned this world. You don't own anything in life until you are powerful. So power is not just for show. The authority for ownership is predicated on power. If you don't have power, even the one you have, they will take it from you. And there is nothing you can do about it. I'm painting this picture so that I will tell you the place of prayer in your life. Have you not seen people with a very glorious destiny, and a demon shows up and seizes that destiny, stamp it underfoot? And a man who should be a world changer is running from street to street, helpless and hopeless. When you see him in the spirit, he has the star of a king, but in the natural, he's a beggar. He said, I've seen an abomination on the face of the earth, that beggars are riding on horses while princes are walking on barefoot. That abomination is a consequence of the absence of power. If there is no power in your life, even the things you earn will be taken from you. So God revealed the place of authority in ownership by calling himself Jehovah. So progressively in scripture, every time they met God, what they actually met was a dimension of power. They didn't necessarily meet a personality, because when Jesus came, he said, no man has seen God at any time. So they didn't actually see a person. What they saw was power. Every time they met God in the Old Testament, it was an encounter with power. So Abraham was barren. His wife was barren. And he was impotent. And God told him, the only way you can have a child is to know the God of power. And for 25 years, for Abraham to have a child, he needed to understand what is the meaning of El Shaddai. The day he knew it, Sarah took him. Because the problem was not the barrenness. The problem was the lack of understanding of the place of power in the equation of his life. The moment that power was introduced to the equation of his life, he said, Abraham did not consider his body now dead. He knew that this thing is not about me. It's about power. Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. How can a man who is 99 years old and his wife barren to the point that her womb was dead be giving thanks to God? He has for the first time understood that God is a God of power. And the moment he did, child came forth. So productivity in life is a function of power. A man without power will put in his best, but it will not be productive. Why do you think you don't need to plant grass, but they will grow so richly? Meanwhile, if you plant your flower where grasses are growing, you will need to water your flower every day for it to grow. Because productivity is not cheap. It takes power to have productivity. The grasses will negate the productivity of the flower until you introduce the equation of power. This was what Abraham discovered. So when Abraham grew old and the child became a man, God said, give me this child. He didn't doubt once. He knew Sarah didn't understand, so he didn't tell Sarah. Early in the morning, he sneaked out with Isaac. And in Genesis 22 verse 5, he said, the man to wait here is going off to worship. What was worship? He wanted to slaughter Isaac. But when he was going, Paul told us that he knew in his heart that the same God who gave him that child was able to raise him back in a vigor. He has met the God of power. So he knew with this being, nothing is impossible. So I can slaughter Isaac 1,000 times. He can raise Isaac back to life. So the faith of Abraham was not just obedience. It was anchored on definite understanding that the same God who brought this child out of a dead womb can raise this child back from the dead. Because this child, after all, came from the dead. His body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. So if this child came from the dead, God can raise him back from the dead. So in Genesis 22 verse 14, when God rebuked him, don't touch the young lad. Abraham left there and said, his name is Jehovah Jireh. I've encountered another dimension of power. I knew El Shaddai, but now I know Jireh. And Jireh is not just God provider. Jireh means upon the mountain of God, he shall be seen. So in the economy of Jireh, you are able to change your future before you get there. This is why Jesus, speaking in John chapter 8, he said, Abraham, your father, saw my day and he rejoiced in it. So Abraham did not just see Isaac coming back from the dead. Abraham saw the future of Israel up to Christ. So in Jireh, Abraham was able to change his future. So I may be walking today and you look at me, you want to pity me, I laugh at you. Because I have seen tomorrow. It's power. It's called power. I have seen tomorrow. This is why even as a cleaner, you are a cleaner with integrity. Because you know who unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. I may be a cleaner now. I'm just journeying to the future. Joseph was put in the pit. But he had heard the testimony of Jireh. So many times God will say, trap this name as a memorial and hand it over to your children. In the pit, Joseph knew it was not hopeless. They now threw Joseph to prison for 13 years. The guy was giving glory to God. And the Bible said in Psalm 105 verse 17, it said they sold him for a servant. He said, but until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord over his house and chief over his substance to teach his senators wisdom and to bind his princes at his pleasure. How do you take a prisoner to educate senators? Because of matters of power, he's more of a legislator than the senator who was politically voted into office. Hey, ha, ha, ha. Hey, ha, ha. Hey, ha, ha. Hey, ha, ha. Hey, ha. A man who doesn't understand power, when you tell him about tomorrow, he's afraid. Not a man who can see tomorrow. He said, upon the mountain of God, he shall be seen. So Abraham mounted Jairus, and in Jairus, Abraham saw Jesus. So even when his children was in captivity for 400 years, he knew it will pass. You can put me in chains, it will pass. You can lie against me, it will pass. You can ridicule me, it will pass. You can throw me down, it will pass. Because this man doesn't die. He only transit from glory to glory. It's a technology of power. Even if I left this world today, what I carry in God will rest on another person. This is just a vessel. A dimension has been caught. So when they killed Stephen, they thought it was over. The same person who was watching the death of Stephen, the spirit rested upon him. And Paul did many times than Stephen would have ever done. Tomorrow is already secured. These are the wealth that believers have. But they are running up and down. If you know these things, you will pray. I tell you, you won't need anybody to motivate you. You will so pray that your name will become prayer. Elijah needed rain. The king was waiting. Israel was in a standstill. He said, wait for me. And he strode to the mountain. And he knelt down. And he was praying. He told his servant, go and check. Check where? You are praying on your knee. Why are you telling me to check the cloud? Because prayer can form the cloud. 7 times. Won't you change your mind? They checked once, checked twice, checked thrice. He knows that thing more than he knows his name. He can wake up one day and say, I'm no longer Elijah. Or you can deceive him, he's not Elijah. He will believe you. But if you tell him prayer doesn't work, he will tell you it's a lie. He can't believe otherwise. So 6 times, nothing was happening. He was praying. And on the 7th time, the man came and didn't encourage him. He said, I saw something in the cloud like a fist of a man. How did Elijah interpret it? He went to the king and said, better begin to run home. There will be an abundance of rain. He knows power. There will be an abundance of rain. And the same thing that happened to Abraham happened to Elijah. 1 Kings 18 from 45. He said, the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jesse. Many people are doing canvassing, trying to go ahead. The place to go ahead is in the place of power. When power comes upon you, it will make you overrun the chariots of your enemies 1,000 times. This is what Abraham knew. And then God will call Moses, a stammerer without an advantage. And he took him to the mountain. He said, I will send you to Pharaoh. Moses knew that Pharaoh was a god. He's called the god of the sun god. That's who Pharaoh was. Men don't stand before Pharaoh to challenge him. His anger will lick you up. This is why when Moses stood up with zeal and said he will deliver Israel, when Pharaoh heard that he killed an Egyptian, before Pharaoh met him, he ran from Egypt to a wilderness. Nobody advised him. He knew the vengeance of Pharaoh will lick you up. And then God now told him, go back to Pharaoh and deliver my people. He didn't know who he was talking to. And I said, I don't know you, but I know Pharaoh. I don't know you, but I know Pharaoh. There was nothing God would do to convince Moses. It has to be by power. And he told Moses, my name is I Am That I Am. See, English language have dwarfed that name. You didn't just know what I said. No Jewish man will pronounce this name I pronounce now. Because they know what it means. The word is Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. If you take time to study it, I was speaking with one of my friends in the East last week about this name. He has a deeper understanding on the name. And he was educating me. Israel, they don't call it. That's why they started calling Yahweh. Nobody will call Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. And even Yahweh, if they want to write it, when they are writing scripture, they will go and take their bath. So maybe you are reading one chapter and there is Yahweh 10 times. That means they took their bath 10 times to write Yahweh. because of the power that the name commanded. That was what motivated Moses to return to Egypt. Yod he vav he. It has a numerical value in the Hebrew. Yod means 10. 10 is the code of creation. So the power to start a civilization and to end the civilization is in that name. So in Genesis chapter 1, let there be 10 times, and the word appeared. And when God wanted to end Egypt, he sent 10 plagues. So in Yod alone is the power to create and the power to destroy. That's an introduction of a being inside one name. This was the magnitude of power he revealed to Moses. And Moses was able to go to Egypt. And then in Christ Jesus, he now said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 that it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. So what it means is that in Jesus is Elohim. In Jesus is Jehovah. In Jesus is Jireh. In Jesus is Nisi. In Jesus is El Shaddai. In Jesus is Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. So the totality of everything God is in Jesus. And when he put it in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, he now planted Jesus on your inside. So what are you? You have become a creature of power. It's an error, therefore, for a believer to be helpless. When you run to God and say you are helpless, God is wondering, what technology is this? I don't understand it. God, who is omniscient, it's difficult for him to understand why a believer. Now, look at this. As Elohim alone, he created the world. As Yod-Heh, he ended Egypt. As El Shaddai, he caused life to come out of death. He didn't give you Elohim. He didn't give you El Shaddai. He didn't give you Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. He gathered all of them together in a parcel called Jesus, and he planted it on your inside. So when you now come to him and say, I need school fees, he's now wondering, are you aware that resident on your inside is the power that created the trees, the birds, the ocean, and everything? How come you'll be needing something that came out of what is in you created? So it's a contradiction in the realm of God. When a man comes to God crying that is hopeless, God is wondering. When Jesus was about to leave, because he knows what he gave us, he made us agents of dominion. He said, when you see the sick, don't pray. Touch him. Your touch can end cancer. Your touch can end diabetes. Now, how come the man who touches the sick is now sick himself? Because there is a problem in releasing what is on his inside. Secondly, he said, if a mountain is before you, have you stood before a mountain before? All of us can climb a mountain and we'll be just in one portion of a mountain. Compared to a mountain, the ratio between you and the mountain may be like 1:10,000. If you wanted to shift a mountain from one side to the other and you started digging it, you may dig it for a lifetime, you won't finish. But because you have become a creature of power, he said, if a mountain is standing before you, don't touch it. He said, say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away, and if you don't doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. What did Jesus tell you? He wasn't talking about the mountain. If you thought for a second he was talking about the mountain, you missed the scripture. What he was saying is that I have made you a god. Because when a God is walking, he is talking. Only gods walk by talking. In the beginning, he said, let there be light, and light appear. He said, let the dry ground appear, and the dry ground appear. He said, let every creature come out of the dry ground. And they came out of the dry ground. Let the heavens be separated from the earth. And it was separated. That's how God walked. So when Jesus said, talk to this mountain, what he was doing is that he was taking you back to Genesis chapter 1 to begin to function like Elohim. So if you function like Elohim, even beyond the mountain, anything you see, if you want it, all you need to do is to declare. Why do believers make declaration and they don't see it? Because they have not been able to tap the power that is on their inside. So the wealth of prayer is in the fact that through prayer, you can deploy the channels of power that is on your inside. So when a man begins to pray, the goal is not to ask for things. The goal is to open the channel of power that is on his inside. Because resident in that man is the same power that created the world. Resident in that man is the same power that ended Egypt. Resident in that man is the same power that parted the Red Sea. Resident in that man is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So every time you begin to pray, beyond the things you are trusting God to do for you, you are opening the channel of power. And if you open that channel big enough, a day will come, even if you are traveling in the car, that you touch somebody, a curse will break from the person's life. The person will not even know. He just made contact with a vote of power. There are many herbalists today in darkness that understand this principle. If a pregnant woman looks at them, she has miscarriage. Because of the level of evil and demons they carry. The same way, a man should carry so much power that if you touch the hem of his garment, you will be healed of whatsoever. This is what the woman with the issue of blood said. She went to every doctor, spent all her living, no result. But the moment she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus turned and he said, virtue have left me, because power was flowing all over him. Every believer is supposed to function in that capacity. In Luke chapter 6 verse 19, they said they brought everybody that was sick in the city. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Everybody that was sick in the city. And as much as they touched him, he said virtue left him and healed them all. There was enough power for a whole city. Enough power. And it is the same volume that we carry. How come our fountain is dry? Because prayer is dry. The thing you are struggling with is too small compared to you that the angels that walk with you wonder. How come? In fact, when we tap into the fullness of this power, it will become difficult for us to die. It will become so difficult to die that when your time is due, you will tell God, I want to go home. This is what the patriarchs knew. The Bible said when they came to old age, they called their children. They blessed them and they rest with their fathers. These men don't die, they translate. Moses walked in the glory so much that Moses crossed death. And when God wanted Moses to come home, Moses wouldn't die. The Bible said even at 120, his strength was intact and his eyes were not abated. So God had to kill Moses. Because if I don't kill this man, he will remain here. This our generation would have been going to see Moses. They carried so much power and they tapped into it that they could change things. A day came when Israel was fighting and Joshua saw that the sun was an advantage. So he came out and everybody was looking at him. If it becomes late, they will kill us. We don't know this terrain. And I said, don't worry. And I said, son, stand where you are. Don't go down. He said, moon, stand where you are. Don't go down. And the Bible says for a whole day, the sun did not make haste to go down. And he said, in that day, God hearkened to the voice of a man. The sun. Why were these things written? Romans 15:4. He said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. How come a man tapped into power, he could command the sun. Meanwhile, you cannot command a little growth in your body. There's a contradiction. Why would men tap into so much power? The Bible said the economy of Israel crumbled because four kings came and surrounded Israel and besieged them. That's a wicked military strategy. They don't want to kill you. They want you to die of hunger. So they just leave their country, come and surround you. Nobody will go out. Nobody will come in. Eat your food until you die. That's an army that is too sure they will crush you. There are some enemies that if they want to deal with you, they will say, no, we will give you 10 years. They can kill you now, but they want you to suffer gradually and die. That was the kind of warfare that Israel was facing. They surrounded them. They said, no, they should eat what they have and enjoy. When they finish, they will die. Fear won't even let them come out. They will die. And women began to eat their children. Turn by turn. It was that bad. The king didn't know what to do. The king was weeping because it was a hopeless situation. And they came to Elisha. And they said, by this time tomorrow. That is a defiance of every economic law that you know. By this time tomorrow, by one word, he changed the economy of the land. One word. He altered. These were the kind of power these men carried. Yet, believers today, with the Holy Ghost, cannot feed their families. When by one word, the economy of a whole nation was altered, what is the problem? I tell you, one of the challenges is prayerlessness. The Bible said, women receive their dead back to life. These were widows. Their children die. And then they wake up, they say, no, you won't die. If I gave you life before, I will give it to you again. And they stayed there and commanded their children to come back to life. Powers that were wrought in this world before our coming. If we fail, we have no excuse. But one of the reasons we will fail is because prayer is no longer part of our culture. We stroll around thinking all is well until the evil day comes. And it is in the evil day that the level of power you carry will be tested. Because if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because God is not powerful. It's because your strength is little. God will still be there. You will faint because your strength is little. So when we begin to pray, what do? We begin to release the power that is on our inside. There are four kinds of power that every believer carries. Four. The first is called exousia. Exousia is a positional power. Now, God gave us many kinds of power so that in the least of our experience, at least when we walk. So on the worst day of your life, things will still work. Because if one doesn't work, you pick the second. If the second doesn't work, you pick the third. If the third doesn't work, you pick the fourth. Meanwhile, all these forms of power works on the frequency of prayer. I tell you, if you meet God, he will tell you, you don't have any excuse to fail. That's what God will tell you. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible said we have a great cloud of witnesses. When you fail, somebody will stand up and tell you, I was in that same situation where you were. You say, well, the reason I couldn't serve God is because I was a politician. He took my time. Daniel will come. Joseph will come and say, we were also politicians. And Daniel will tell you, I was a prime minister, but I prayed 3 times in a day. David will come to you and say, I'm a king. But I pray 7 times every day. 7 times. So the difference between you and them is that they knew what advantage they had in the spirit. It's because I was a businessman. That's why I didn't succeed. You will be shocked in heaven. You will be so shocked that every situation that we are going through today, somebody has gone through it and prevailed. That's why they are called a cloud of witnesses. Their presence there is to rob you of every excuse. So when you appear, God expects only one testimony. Lord, you gave me 5 talents. I've turned it to 10. And you say, go and take 10 kingdoms. Lord, you gave me 10 talents. I have doubled it. Go and take 20. If you come and tell him, it's because you gave me one, I went and hid it. They will throw you to where there is gnashing of teeth, because there is no excuse. There is too much wealth with us in the spirit to come before God with excuse. If we come before God with excuse, it's a testimony of wickedness. And he will respond accordingly. First dimension of power is called exousia. That's a positional power. It's called a delegated authority. The president of your country, you may be able to beat him to pulp because you have more physical strength, but he has a positional power. As a president, if you slap him, he may faint. But if you stand up and say, jail him for life, with your power, you'll be behind bars and you'll be doing press up there every morning. Your muscles will be growing, but you'll remain behind bars. Because positional power is exercised through talking. Unless it doesn't speak. The reason we are all wearing nose masks is because it's put on your nose mask. Even if you are a giant, you will wear it. Because your size is not a factor. It's positional power. Now, there is election in 2024. Some people are already canvassing for it now. These are people that understand the wealth in authority. Now, many believers have exousia, but because they don't know, they don't labor to enter. Your politicians are already canvassing for support now. Some people are already seeing mayors, seeing businessmen strategizing for 2024 because they know if they enter that office, the things they dreamt of for 30 years, they can do it in one day. So, exousia is one of the greatest wealth a believer has. The power to command his own change. The power to command his own results. But many believers, even though it's available in Christ, because the day you were born again, that was the day you entered exousia. He said in John chapter 1 from verse 11, he came into the world, even though the world was created by him, the world knew him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave exousia to become the sons of God. So every one of us here is a possessor of exousia. Everyone. But the problem is, how many of us are walking in it? The reason you are not walking in it is because even though you are positionally situated with Christ, you are not aware. That awareness is spiritual. It's not derived from telling stories. It's spiritual. In Luke 10:19, it said, behold, I give unto you exousia to cast out devils. The key word there is not the exousia. It is behold. The word behold is idol. It means become aware. So there are many believers who have it, but they are not aware. How do you step into this awareness? It's by prayer. It's by prayer. Every time you begin to pray, your reality in the spirit is open to you. So what you have that you are not aware of, prayer brings your awareness to it. And one day you are praying, you just know, I shouldn't be in this situation. And then you stand up, you say, I'm delivered. Whether the devil likes it or not, it must happen. Because before he gave you exousia, in Colossians 2:14, he said, having spoiled principalities and powers. So he didn't give it to you hoping you will win. He fought all the battles you should have fought. The Bible said he went to Hades. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them in victory. So when he won the battle, he now gave you the authority to exert and to exercise the battle. That's why in Matthew 28 from verse 18, he said, all exousia in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The reason we can change things on earth and heaven we align is because of exousia. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. It's because of exousia. All power in heaven and on earth. So on earth, yes sir, even though angels are more powerful than you, you have more authority than angels. That's why angels run your errand. They say in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all, not some, including the ranking angels. He say, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister? Not two. If it was two, they would have brought ministration to you. It says, "Set to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, because you are a carrier of exousia." So when you have a need and you speak, the Holy Ghost will tell the angels to do it. But here are believers with absolute authority going through crisis because they are not aware. The key to awareness is prayer. He said, "For this cause, I bow down my knees and pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," Ephesians 1:17, "that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." The word is apocalypsis, to bring you into the depths of truth. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epignosis of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word enlightened is the word fortizo, to shed light upon. So it was always in you, but you didn't know until light is shed upon. If you come here at night, this place will be dark. But the moment the light is shed upon, you'll be able to take your seat. The seat was always there. If you are not even careful, the seat will make you fall. The seat you should sit on to be comfortable. It takes the shedding of light for you to become aware. So many believers are full of authority, but there is no awareness. And Paul taught us the key to awareness is what? I pray that it may be granted unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If your eyes are open now, the things that trouble you, that you were afraid of, will run back and say, "You are finished. You are finished." Have you held something in your hand before and you were looking for it? It has happened to me before. I had my comb, was late to go out, desperately needing to comb to go out quickly. I was looking for the comb and I got so angry. Where do they keep things in this house? Why won't something be in one place? Until my friend came and said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Why would you people be throwing things everywhere? Where is my comb?" He now looked at me. He said, "Sir, you are with your comb." When I looked at it, I was so ashamed of myself. These things happen. Power to change your life has always been with you. But because you don't pray, you are not aware. So you are traveling from Volta region to Kumasi, traveling all around, looking for solution that you always carried. If you would only kneel down to pray, the scales will fall off your eyes. And then you will stand up and say, "No, I'm not a beggar. I was ordained king and priest. And where the word of a king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, 'What doest thou?' Therefore, I command this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast out." And the mountain will move in your own eyes. Looking for the fruit of the womb, you've gone everywhere. It's not working. And then the scale fall. And you say, "He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And he shall remove sickness from the midst of thee. And none shall cast thy young." And therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command the spirit of barrenness out. That night, you take it. Because the authority was always there. The problem was awareness. "I'm 40. I'm not yet married." And then the scale fall. And then you wake up. "I'm of the daughters of Sarah." We don't struggle. We carry so much favor that even the kings of Egypt, when they see us, they admire us because we are fair to look upon. Do you know how old Sarah was when Abimelech was admiring Sarah? Sarah was an old woman, yet a king that had maidens everywhere could still look at an old woman and was admiring her. The same was the testimony of Rebecca, and you are of that lineage. So you just wake up and say, "No, we are fair to look upon. Even kings admire us. It is kings that look for us, not beggars. I cannot be looking for husband. I make choices because I'm of the order of Sarah." And suddenly, reproach will roll away. Your confidence will return. And as you walk out, in 1 week you have 3 suitors. And you are wondering what happened. There was authority all the while. but there was no understanding. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, that light may be shed on your understanding. For Tizo would come. I knew from day one, I told my friends, we will shake this world. They were looking at me. Then we had, sometimes we finished from the prayer meeting. It's only one person that has 500 naira. So we'll go and buy two plates of food. All of us, five of us, we scavenge on the food. Even though there was nothing to eat, we stand up and say, we will shake this world. We will shake this world. We will shake. Nations will look for us. Kings will come to the brightness of our rising. We will be too relevant that it will be hard to be in one place. We won't build our own houses. They will dash us houses. And my friends will be like, amen, amen, amen. It's called exousia. Your tongue was not given to you for gossip. Your tongue was given to you to create your future. To create it. You say what you want to see, and you will have what you say, because there is power in your tongue. He said the power of life and death is in the tongue. And everybody that desires it will eat the fruit thereof. I never speak evil. Even when I'm down, I say I'm lifted up. Because the power to lift me up is in my speakings. I'm a man of authority. A man of authority don't talk casually. If your president comes to national television and say tomorrow is public holiday, even if he was joking, come out tomorrow, see what will happen. You will be arrested. Because there is no idle word with men of authority. That's why Jesus said, every idle word you speak, you will account for it. Because you may say something carelessly, you have added to creation. There's evil in Ghana. You don't know that because you said it, you energize evil. Because you are a man of authority. Things are not working in Ghana. We don't talk like that. Because when we talk, things happen. So even though people are going through challenge, we only prophesy. Ghana will be great again. Giants will rise from Ghana. The government will improve. Things will turn around. The government that will come will be 10 times better than the government that was. We are manipulating the election. And the wicked ones, no matter what they do, when we say it enough, you say, when the cloud be full of rain, it will empty itself upon the earth. So the wicked man who thinks because he's connected, we win. All of a sudden, the tides will turn. But believers don't know. The sons of the bondwoman, what do? When they enter a city, they are not looking for a job. They can be shoe shiners. What they are doing is that they want to take that city. They are not interested in the job they offer them in that city. They want to take the city. So they will send their sons to every nook and cranny of the city. And as the sun is rising, they begin to chant incantations and begin to declare evil and wickedness over the land, because they prosper by terrorism. They begin to declare fear over the people. And suddenly, everybody in the land becomes afraid. And then they begin to have influence in the land. What they do is that they begin to buy territories. After a while, a whole region becomes theirs. Then the next thing you hear, that the vice president is the son of the bondwoman. The next time, they will go for the office. Meanwhile, while you are here struggling for office, struggling for position, they are taking over the land. Because they know how to. But too many believers are quiet. Because they don't know the provisions of exousia. When we go to pray beyond what God gives us, there is an inheritance we want to step into. And it's called the inheritance of power. Our three elder sisters, least was 32, never married. These were ladies that were goddesses. In the days of their prime, all their shoes were tall. They used to call it choker. They had very fat legs, fair to look upon. When they wear their gowns and they are going to the office, even their bosses always admired them. But when time came for marriage, no man wanted to marry them. There was a veil of darkness. They will do vigils, they will pray, nothing will happen. One day I was in the place of prayer and I heard, you are the priest of this house. Wow! I knew the battle had ended. I came up straight without prayer. I say, all of you are discharged to your husband's house. In 8 months, they were all married. You don't need to swear to exercise authority. Just speak. It will happen. But there is a level of awareness that you must have. Prayer brings you that level of awareness. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
As you leave this conference,
you reign.
You wake up in the morning. After praying in the Holy Ghost, you now say, my business is the best in Ghana. Even the president is patronizing me, and he has no choice. Very soon, I'm giving out contracts. I'm taking contracts in hundreds of millions. You will think it's a joke. Keep praying and prophesying. You'll be shocked. Shocked. You don't need to be 40 to be a millionaire. You need to be a millionaire to be a millionaire. And it takes authority to be a millionaire. Many are not aware. So they only see what the mirror tells them. You looked at the mirror, your face is dark, you look slim. So you think that is all there is about you. That's the least. The God of heaven dwells on your inside. Authority. Second dimension of power is called dunamis. Why exousia is a positional power that you step in by reason of your birth as a new, as a born again Christian, activated by your awareness. Dunamis is different. Dunamis is the power to cause changes. And the way you engage dunamis is that you charge it like a battery. The battery in your phone has the capacity to sustain your phone. But once and again, you need to charge it. That's what we do with dunamis. In Ephesians 3:20, he said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis that is at work on your inside. So the workings of dunamis is the power to create changes. Why you create changes in exousia by talking? In dunamis, even if you think it, it will happen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. This is why most times when you begin to pray and you ascend in the spirit, your thoughts are arrested. The angels that keep the gates of ascension, they will arrest your thought. Because at that level, anything you think, you are creating. Dunamis is the power to cause changes. But most times, the dunamis level in people is weak. They are not charged. So when we go to the place of prayer, sometimes we come weak. Mana, 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 mana. As dunamis is building up, it's building up, it's building up. You had a very hectic day and you wanted to pray for just 10 minutes. Shaba, 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 shaba. After a while, Tako Barakida, Dadakado Betadesh, Fana Kitakato. A time will come when, if dunamis builds up, Parak Tetai, Faduka, Senata, you become a lion. Because you engage dunamis in tongues. As you build tongues, dunamis come. Not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. When the Holy Ghost came, the way for that power to be activated was that he gave them a fresh tongue. Acts chapter 2 from verse 4. And they heard a voice as of a rushing mighty wind. And they alighted upon them cloven tongues as of fire. And every one of them began to speak in new tongues. So the power came with its operational modality, which is speaking in tongues. Every time you begin to speak in tongues, dunamis is stirred. They gathered the apostles and flogged them. Never preach in the name of Jesus again. Have you not been there before? You applied for the visa 3 times. They turn you down. The next time, I will pay. You are afraid. your boldness has been destroyed. You started the business. You tried different locations, 3 different locations. It didn't work. So you say, no, business is not for me. That was what happened to the disciples. They flogged them. Never preach in the name of Jesus again. And in fear, the Bible said they returned to their own company. But they didn't go there and keep quiet. He said, as they lifted up their voices and prayed, he said, the place where they were was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. And he said, with great power, he gave unto them witness of the resurrection from the dead. And great grace was upon them. So in your weakness, what you need is dunamis. When things are not working and you want to create a change, just pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray through, you will be amazed that the things that threatened you, weakened you, molested you with fear, suddenly you will mount up with wings like the eagles. And then those things will suddenly become small. Small, because you have ascended in the spirit. That's the power of dunamis. Nobody can create change unless there is dunamis in the spirit. This is why most times, even in the secular world, they know it. They call it morale. If you take people to war and you don't give them morale, they will die. An army that should take a nation. So most times before they go to war, they will stand in fear. And then they will go and bring the orators. And then the orators will mingle words and mingle words. When the orator is done talking, even the least soldier there will see it as an honor to die for his country. That's when they charge out, because they have been energized. When a believer begins to pray in the Holy Ghost, he's building morale. It is in that morale that his elements will be activated. There are latent dimensions in that believer that will not manifest until he gets to that point where morale, dunamis, brings it out. And suddenly, even when the guy begins to talk, you know this is the tongue of a god. In football, most times, they will be playing the game, it will be normal. The special skills begin to happen from 70th minute, when the game has gone latent. That time, it becomes do or die. A player can shoot from center of the field and score a goal. From the beginning of the match, such things are hard. Most times, one player can beat through 5 defenders. At the beginning, it's hard. At the beginning, everybody is knocking. But they get to a point where the latent powers are activated. For a believer, it's not a latent power. It's called dunamis. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. But it takes intense praying in the spirit for you to hit that crescendo where dunamis is activated. When people don't pray, they will always be weak. They came to you with a bad news. Don't respond. If you respond on ground, you will lose. Lock your door. Go to your bedroom. Begin to pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues for 2 hours, come out again and say, what did you say? When you want to respond, you will speak by the voice of God. You went for the interview. You met people. Everybody you spoke to said they had first class. And when you check your own certificate, it was second class lower. Go to the bathroom and pray in tongues, because you need something more than certificate at that time. You didn't go to ease yourself. Shakataka. Didi. Rack. When you come out, if you speak, they will ask you, were you the one who lectured the first class students? Because you will come with the wisdom of the gods. You went to beat contract. The person who came say, the president's younger sister is my wife. Did you come for the same contract? Your morale will die. And then when you turn to the left, he will say, I came from government house. I'm the candidate from the government house. You may just want to carry your file and go home, because you know how the system works. But there is a realm superior to the system. There's a realm. So you go to the closet and you say, Lord, promotion does not come from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, but it cometh from the Lord. Matakiba, raka, tatata, ibaladabode, adoate. When you step out, as you enter the interview hall, the person will now recognize you. Nathaniel. I was your seatmate in primary school. Oh! You have turned the table around. The person would not have recognized you. But while you were praying in the Holy Ghost, you removed the scales from his eyes. You didn't recognize the person because he's been for 45 years. How did the person recognize you? You removed the scale. This is how we change things in the spirit. This is how we change things. I read the story many years ago. A preacher, after laboring to build a church, they now said they wanted to do the railway track. What do you do? The worst institution to fight is the government of your country. The guy didn't know what to do. He now told the two church members, come, let's enter the hall and pray. And when they prayed for 24 hours, he told everybody, come out. They came out and they pushed the church. You don't know dynamics. They pushed the church from the location to the next location. The building that is planted with foundation by dynamics, they lifted the building, pushed it away from where they wanted to do the railway. Nothing is too big in your life that you can't change. Whatever they called it, is men that called it names. God can call it another name. What you call failure, God can call it a stepping stone. What you call weakness, God can call it strength. But there is a realm where God speaks from. It's the mountain of God. And it is by dynamis that you get there. It's by dynamis. So when Christians don't pray, they are doing themselves a great disfavor. I'm not talking religion. You can sit down in your room quietly, yet you are praying deep in the spirit. And your spirit will ascend. For we who are young, we are at liberty to jump. Allow us, we are young people. It's part of adrenaline. Let's enjoy it while we are young. But the power is not in jumping. The power is not in the volume. The power is in the prayer. So it doesn't matter whether you are jumping or shouting. By all means, make sure you are praying. If you will pray, you will generate power to create change. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It says women receive their dead, not men. Women receive their dead back to life. There is no such thing as a disadvantage for the believer, because everything can be worked out for your own good. Everything. He can turn it out for your good. If only you know what to do. But I am persuaded that from this conference, giants of prayer will emerge. Giants! I don't have time to talk about the other two. But as you leave this conference, every mountain that has stood before you is about to go down. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you will stand before the mountain and say, who are you, O mountain, that standeth before Zerubbabel? And it will be like a dynamite. It will scatter doors that were locked before you for many years. You have pushed, it didn't open. You tried all the keys you had, it didn't open. It's time not to open the door. It's time to scatter it. So when you pray, Shakabatakuba, Rakira Tapat, Tatati, Natali, as you approach the door will not open, it will scatter. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the priest to arise, for the mandates to be given. Ali, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, Ali, oh, Ali, Ali, oh, Ali, 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 oh, Ali, Ali, oh, Ali. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? And command your mountains to go down. Ali, Ali, oh. Some of you here, you have mountains that have defied revelations. You have mountains that have defied even prophetic words. I tell you something that never fails. It's called prayer. That's why every time Jesus was confronted with a challenge, he knew what to do. He prayed. The first time he was to go into ministry, nothing was feasible. The Bible said he went and prayed 40 days and 40 nights. There was another time, persecution everywhere. He said after many days, he took Peter, James and John and he went to pray. Moses and Elijah appeared to him. Another time, he was to go to the cross. Himself became the stumbling block and he went to pray. Some of us, our mountain is ourselves. There is one way to take every mountain out of the way. It's by prayer. You want to pray in the next 5 minutes, even as we command mountains to go. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shaka patekiba. Ale ale yo. Ale yo. Ale yo. Ale ale yo. Ale ale yo. Ale yo. Ale yo. Ale ale yo. Manifest. In this kingdom, even princes can walk on foot. They are still princes, but the experiences of life will prove to them that life has no regard for a throne that is not backed with power. If you know how many politicians there are in Ghana, you will know that you need to pray to be distinguished. If you know how many businessmen are here, even ministry, if you know how many prophets are in Ghana, you will know that it takes more than a gift for a man to make impact in his generation. Some prophets in this country, they can describe everything about you to your grandfather, and they will enter your future, even the ones that have not happened, but they have no impact in the nation. If you are not praying, your gift will be a lie. The things you call an advantage will be taken from you. The true insurance in this kingdom is your continual engagement of your God that dwells in the secret place. I want to give us another opportunity to pray passionately for the next 2 minutes. The power of God has been moving in this meeting, but there is something you will take with you home. It's the grace for prayer. Next 2 minutes, pray in the Holy Ghost like someone who is passionate. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, make sure you begin to command your seasons. Shift the mountains. Command them to get out. Command the dead to come back to life. Command the rivers to flow. Hallelujah. From a family. Changes, changes already taking place in the spirit. Fresh visions are being born. Fresh visions. No more stagnation. No more stagnation. Somebody just move forward by the speed of the spirit. The chariots of God's spirit. You just move forward from the spot where you have been for 10 years. Somebody just move forward. Thank you, Father. No more death. No more death. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands toward heaven. If you are sick in your body, the sickness is about to leave you. It's a mountain. It's a mountain. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I take authority over sickness. Everyone under the influence of my voice, in this auditorium, online, everywhere under my voice, I command the spirits of infirmities, be bound. Be bound. And out of their bodies. I command chains of infirmities, break. Eyes see, ears hear. Bones receive strength. I command pains of all sorts. Leave their bodies. Arthritis. Leave their bodies. In the name of Jesus. Out of their bodies. I command sickness. Go right now. Barakade sutavak. Receive strength in your bodies. Organs receive strength. I command viruses die. Growths dematerialize. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I command pains, go, go, go from their bodies. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Every mountain that has stood before you successfully until now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that mountain is commanded. Leave right now.
Amen.
Leave right now.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Just give him praise. In that atmosphere of gratitude, changes are taking place. Just give him praise. Let's be calm. Don't worry. Just lift your hands and give him praise. Again to speak and to intercede over the gates of Ghana. There's a great intercessory mantle that is about to fall on them. There are three of them here, specific messengers to this land. Right now, Holy Spirit, I'm seeing the mantle is falling on a woman already. Holy Spirit. Everyone you have ordained for such ancient mantles of intercessors that have walked through this land, I speak to those mantles that they begin to rest upon the chosen vessels now. The hand of God will come upon you so strong, you will literally vibrate from your head to your toe. Touch! Keep playing. Please stay sensitive.
It's not so violent this morning, but so much is happening. Most of you will leave here and your results will tell you that something shifted in the spirit. Somebody around here, the spirit of death is being rebuked. There have been deaths in your family consistently for the past 4 or 5 years. From around here, I think about 3 or so persons have died. Can you just wave at me? The spirit of death is being rebuked. Just lift your hands, man. Right now, Holy Spirit, the power to cause that spirit to go back. Touch! 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 Please stay sensitive. Some of you have already been healed. Something like a growth have left somebody's body. Somewhere around my right hand side here, something like a growth has left somebody's body. Just check it and you'll discover it's gone already. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Is there somebody around here, something like a growth or something with excruciating pain have left your body? Is there somebody around here like that? You're the one? Come. You had a growth on your body. Where is it? Where was the growth? On your chest? Was there pain? Is the growth gone?
Yes, please.
The growth is gone. Yes, I know. Just lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord. Beyond everything God will do for you, many people will live here with burdens for prayer. Burdens for prayer. They will tarry in the place of prayer and you will remain there until there is a movement in heaven. Thank you, Father.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.